You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core, the podcast where we explore thinking, behaviors, and inner drivers that influence how we show up as leaders. I'm Simone.
And I'm Jonna. Today, we are talking about something that sits at the foundation of every great team, every strong relationship, and every moment of leadership, and that's trust.
Now, we talk about trust all the time in leadership, but most of us really don't slow down to define it or even shape the context that we're using.
And depending upon who you ask, trust is either something you earn over time or something you decide to just give in a relationship.
And I've always believed that trust is something that you offer first as a leader, as a parent, and it really sets the tone for the entire relationship.
And it really shows up in all those little moments through your tone, through your presence, and how you follow through. People are paying attention, even when you're not trying to make an impression, they're watching.
Well, and then when trust breaks, you feel it. It's, you know, the conversation shifts, people pull back, and performance often just turns into something that's, you know, you're just checking a box.
So today we're going to dig into trust, what it is, where it breaks down, and why does it really matter? And ultimately, how leaders can restore their trustworthiness in meaningful ways.
Because at the end of the day, trust isn't just a factor that's either there or not there. It's the foundation of everything that we stand on. So let's jump in and define what trust is and why it's not really as fixed as we may think.
Let's start with defining what trust actually is. Looking at research, Julian Rotter back in 1967 defined trust as a generalized expectancy that the words, promises, or statements of another can be relied upon. But this is also influenced by our past experiences, observed behavior, and our communication.
And a lot of people like to think of it as it's just there or not, but that's not how trust really is. Something being there or not there is more of a trait that a person may have. And trust is really more of a state. It's more fluid. So when you think about a state, water is a great example that when the conditions change, it changes. So when it's hot, water is in a different form than when it's cold, than when it's room temperature. So depending on the condition or the context that it's in, that water is going to change. Trust is the same way. It's not either here or there. It's something that you feel in that moment, given the context, given the conditions that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. When we think about trait and trait theories, right, those are measuring those things that are people's behavior or even thought processes, but they're consistent over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And when you think about trust, it can be depending upon the situation. It can be dependent upon the person you're interacting with. It could be from one moment to the next. Mm-hmm. Trust can fluctuate given whatever the circumstances are.
As you're talking, another example popped up that people may really relate to as being a state, and that's confidence. Your confidence can be there, and then one moment someone can say one thing and your confidence just plummets. And trust is the same way. It's not going to be consistent once you get it. It can go up as fast as it can go down. It can show up as fast as it can go away.
And it really is based on moment to moment, based on behaviors. And you can't really force trust, right? It's not something that you can put out there and even demand from somebody else.
I think this is why leaders really need to learn the capacity to be attuned to and attend to the trust or the state of trust. And that may be a better way for us to phrase it is, what's the state of trust? Do a good check-in as a leader And when I'm saying leader, every time I say that in this episode, I'm talking about parents too. I think it's even more critical with parents to think about this. It's a state of trust that you have with your children or with your family. Let's talk a little bit about where trust may get broken and why some of that matters. So when you think about trust, it really is a contract. There's this psychological contract that you have with another human being. And if the trust gets broken, it may not be visible. You may not know it in that moment, but there will be signs if you're attending to it as a leader. People may become emotionally distant from you, and that may happen long before they ever actually completely leave.
Yeah, absolutely. Because trust isn't one of those things that it's like a drop off the cliff and you're one and done. It's actually eroded in those micro moments, in those small interactions. And it could be things that we don't even recognize that is eroding trust. It could be missed commitments. It could be inconsistency. And sometimes even, you know, the things that we aren't even paying attention to that we think is no big deal could actually be a big deal to someone else that's eroding that trust.
Like how you languaged that in those micro moments, it erodes. And that is so true. You know, when someone goes no contact with a family member, that family member is like, what happened? I didn't know. But there were a lot of these micro moments along the way. You didn't recognize the micro moments. And that's really what has happened. And so we said, hey, let's examine where it might break or and why that matters. What can our listeners point to?
And I think there are obviously behaviors or performance that we can be on the lookout for that is a sign that maybe there is something that is related to those micro moments with trust. As a leader, when we see low employee engagement or even stress and burnout sometimes can lead to the element of someone saying that they lack the trust in their leader because of all of this work that they're having to do and the leader doesn't see that or doesn't help them or doesn't do something about it. And so those interactions can erode and pick away at the trust that they have in the leader.
I think a couple of clues are they a little bit more withdrawn than they have been before? Are they more distant? And if you miss those clues, they may show up as lower quality, really missing details where that they used to get them before. And if as a leader, I start thinking, well, they just don't care as much, that may be a sign that something's happened. There's some micro events that you've missed.
Well, and ultimately, as leaders, trust is a choice. We can either hold on trust as something that must be earned and we have to wait for somebody to prove to us that we're going to trust them, or we can actually offer it first, shaping a totally different environment, totally different kind of relationship from the very beginning simply by offering that trust. Because ultimately, trust is a leap of faith.
Which one do you think that we're going to recommend?
Oh, definitely just sitting back and waiting for it to be earned with a checkbox of you have to meet all of these things in order to earn our trust, right? Yeah. That's the way that we operate.
Obviously, all the time. Yeah. Well, the giving part and the offering the trust first is tough. It's a really hard act to do as a leader because you just may not believe that the person can do it. For example, they do this report on a monthly basis and the numbers, there's always numbers you have to correct. And so you're like, I can't trust them to do it. One way to approach it as a leader is just to do the report yourself. Now, that's a way. It's not necessarily a way that we recommend. I would recommend that you get curious about why are they not getting those numbers. So you've got this sign of you're not trusting them, but help them to become trustworthy. We say trust is a leap of faith. On the other side of it, it's acting in such a way that someone's trustworthy because the outcome of being trustworthy is trust. So I will give my trust when someone is being trustworthy, but I'm going to give it first as that leap of faith.
Which is why we say trust is an act of leadership. Mm-hmm. Giving the trust, because ultimately trust is not a reward for proven behavior, right? We prove it, therefore we get a medal of trust. It's actually a decision that we as leaders make based on understanding who that person is. And if we take the time to ask those questions, to get curious, to reflect upon, then we as leaders are able to set the tone by making that decision to trust the other person. So if we offer it early, we actually invite ownership of the situation. So the example that you gave, having to go back and recheck the numbers, if we actually had those conversations with people, if we found out what the issue was, then more than likely they're going to take ownership of it and they are going to collaborate or even be more creative in how can they ensure that they are going to be successful.
I like that. If we offer it early. And that's a big if. Like, that's that whole leap of faith. If we don't, it leads us down a whole different path.
It really does. Because it's not as simple as, well, I trust you, so therefore you have to trust me.
Yeah. No.
I wish it was that simple.
I hear so many leaders say that, oh, you can trust me. It doesn't work that way. Is that leader operating in such a way that trust can be given?
Absolutely.
I think this is where it leads us into the conversation of the attending to. And so when you think about whose responsibility is it for trust to be repaired or restored or whichever word you want to use, or to make sure that trust is even there, it really comes down to the parent in a family. It comes down to the leader on a team. And when you think about that phrase, attend to, it means, you know, to care for, to protect. And if the trust is missing, there's signs. And so the leader is responsible for attending to that trust in that unit. It's easy for the leader to identify the trust is broken between me and my employee because I don't trust my employee. That one's easy to attend to. But is the leader looking out for when the trust is broken between the employee and themselves, so like they're the offender? Is the leader attending to the trust across the team, amongst the team? And the leader's responsible for all aspects of it. Because I think if they ignore any of those, it really can create this whole downward spiral where people become disengaged on both sides. There could be small factions growing against each other.
Yeah. And as we stated before, with humans in any relationship, you're either building that relationship up or you are breaking it down. And by attending to what is taking place in that relationship really is the key to ensure that that foundation of that relationship is solid. And by ignoring certain things and not getting curious about it or questioning, because we don't know what we don't know, we are sending a message by ignoring it. Even if we think we're not sending a message, we actually are.
It's, you know, a message of I don't care, but I am trustworthy. So that's really all that matters. And when those become the unspoken narrative of the employees, you've got a lot of problems. And some leaders make the mistake of saying, let's just move forward and let's just focus on the work. When there is a trust issue that pops up, that is the only work you can do at that moment. Really, everything else does need to come to a full stop. And it really does come down, it's the leader's job to focus on that. And we talked about some of the models that we said that we would talk through. Do you have a favorite one that you like to look at?
Well, I think the trust equation is my favorite simply because it has very specific things that people can reflect upon and have aha moments. And we'll post a link to that on the website so everybody can reference that. But I think anyone out there really allows us to take a moment to see where do we play a part in this, whether you call it a trust model or a trust equation, because it is, right, this two-way dynamic relationship. And so it is not just about the other person. I don't trust the other person, or the other person doesn't trust me, that we play a role in that. And so looking at the models, looking at the trust equation really helps us place the finger on how do we, or what is our part in that.
Yeah, I love the trust equation as well. I've used it a couple of times in coaching. I had a fairly new manager that I was coaching that just said, I don't trust my team. And I said, now, do you know what about them do you not trust? I was like, well, they're just not trustworthy. But at that point, I pulled up the trust equation. I said, I'm going to show you something. And this is a trust equation that really relates to how people, the words that they use, their actions, the emotions that they show up with, and motives that they show up with. And I said, look at this formula, and let's talk about this one person. And where on this formula is the trust broken? And so we talked about that one person, and she identified it, and you can just hear the energy shift for this manager. She saw actions to take and conversations to have with the employee. Whereas before, that was why she came to me for coaching. I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. I'm not a good manager. She thought, I'm not a good manager. I don't know how to manage these people. And so she got a lot of energy about this one. So then we shifted to the other person. I said, now let's look at the formula again in relation to this person. And it was a totally different part of the formula. And she listed examples, and then she came up with, well, here's how I can have a conversation with her. Here's how I can shift my conversations. So these aren't just nice to have or cool formulas to look at. You can really make a difference in how you're leading your employees. And you as a manager can get power in these conversations by looking at the trust formula, other trust models.
Yeah, because ultimately the leader carries the responsibility for the relationship, the quality of connection. And we as leaders have to notice those signs of erosion. We have to notice when things aren't aligned and make sure that we provide that space for clarification, and that we have to model repair. Mm-hmm. When we know that we've broken the trust, then we should be the one to acknowledge that. We should show the vulnerability and do it in a respectful manner, but making sure that everybody understands that we see it as a leader and we are choosing to do something about it. Because if it's fractured on either side, as a leader, we have to notice it, we have to name it, and then we ultimately have to do the work to extend it again and again sometimes, and not ignore that gap that appears. And that you have a great story to kind of pull it all together, to share with what it looks like to recognize it, to name it, and then to actually do the work.
Several years ago, I worked with a guy named David. I ran one team, he ran another. I noticed that I was going around David, going to his employees to verify things he was telling me. Because as part of a big process flow, the outcome of his team's work was input from my team. And my team was the face of a lot of things that we would have looked really bad if we didn't meet our deadlines. So their output was really critical to us. And I didn't trust what he was saying. So I was going around his back, verifying with his employees. I noticed I was doing that. Number one, it was adding more work to me. Number two, it just felt weird. I didn't like it. I didn't like myself checking in behind his back. So I got curious about why I was doing that. And I was able to recognize for myself that at some point, my trust in how he spoke was diminished. So the words that he was, like, he just wasn't credible for me. I wasn't getting what I needed. So I was going around his back to get it. Oh, I knew I was doing this. I didn't like it. So I asked to meet with him and I admitted it. I said, David, I need to tell you that I've been going around your back, verifying work from your team. And I've been doing this because the trust I have for you has diminished. I may have been as blunt as saying as I don't trust you. And he was shocked and hurt and embarrassed. And he said, He got really curious though, and he was very concerned. He said, he asked me what he had done and talked about the situations that the conversations, and he got really curious about, you know, what he could do because he didn't want to be someone that couldn't be trusted. And I told him, I admit, I said, this is all on me. I'm sharing this with you because I recognized it. I know that I've been acting different towards you. I'm sure you've noticed that. And he said, well, yeah, I have. I just wasn't going to say anything. So we went on with our conversation. We ended it. Fast forward 2 months. He comes into my office, shuts the door, sits down, very animated. Said, okay, Simone, got something to tell you. Like, what? He said, I just threw you under the bus with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was our boss. And I chuckled and bristled a little bit. It's like, what? Why? What happened? So he described the situation for me. And had he talked with me before he talked with her, I would have probably agreed that was the route to go because there was less splash on me than there would have been on him. And it would have derailed what they were working towards. Somewhere in the midst of him talking, I had this realization that the trust issue I had with him was no longer there. It was gone. And so I started smiling in the middle of the conversation. And he's like, what are you smiling about? I said, I realize, number one, I apologize. And number two, that I haven't come back, cycled back around with you from that last conversation about trust. And I said, I want you to know that there is zero issue for me anymore. And I trust you completely. And he gets this big grin on his face and he thanks me. But I remember that so often around trust that it was really scary for me to have the conversation with him initially because I was embarrassed that I felt that way, that I had been going around someone's back and checking their work. And then I was actually very excited that he came and admitted to me that what he had just done with our boss about me, throwing me under the bus, that it could have gone either way, knowing that here's this person who has told me that she doesn't really trust me a whole lot. And I've just thrown her under the bus with our boss. So for the vulnerability he showed and the trust he extended me by coming to talk with me, I learned so many lessons with trust in that one interaction with David that I've always treasured.
I just love that story because I think it does speak to the nature of everything that we have just talked about and how having those difficult conversations, both of you putting the work in, because if you would have just had that conversation and you would have done your part, but he didn't do his or vice versa, you wouldn't have gotten to that place where trust could have been restored. And it speaks to that, you know, fluid nature of trust that it can go from a lack of or decrease in to a full confidence of trust by simply putting the work in on both parts and being able to restore that relationship. Which
yeah, it really is that two-way. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, that two-way dynamic part was really powerful in that example.
Well, I think, again, that shows that it can be done, right? And that if somebody's willing to put the effort in, because there have been times when you're like, I wash my hands of it and I'm not even going to think about it. This person doesn't deserve my trust. And that does not help a relationship at all.
It doesn't. And I think with him, you know, being trustworthy was a high value for him. And you can tell in that example. And I don't know if everybody articulates that as a high value for themselves is to be trustworthy. And by showing up as a trustworthy person, it's easy to give them trust. And he was just the curiosity he had for what did it do and how can I do it differently? Just like there's so much of what we teach about in these podcasts that he exemplified through that whole situation that it could have been totally different. And I'm just really thankful for, you know, who he is and the character that he has and you know, just how that whole situation turned out.
The other thing that I love about that story is that it really embraces the core framework, which all of our podcasts really revolve around. That curiosity that you talked about, you both got curious, the openness to hear and the openness to understand from each other's perspective, and then take that time to reflect and ultimately embrace the choice of trusting again, which really gives that path forward to that relationship being stronger than probably it was before that. So curiosity, taking that step back, right? And understanding the state of trust in the relationship, looking for those signs, recognizing them in ourselves. Even you made the comment that you realized that you were treating him differently. So getting curious really helps us see where trust might be strained or unspoken, but being curious gives us that information.
Yeah. And, you know, approach that, all of it, with just a true willingness to connect with that other human. And, you know, whether you're trying to offer trust or you're trying to restore trust, the openness part of it, a part of our model, can really help you out. And this one, it by choosing openness, really creates that space that honesty can show up, that shared understanding can show up. And there's a quote that our mutual friend Barry Relaford has in a book that he wrote, The Slice of Trust. It's one quote from there that I think just rings true for all of what you and I talk through, is that being trusted invites people to be their best.
That's powerful.
And so if you're willing to just connect with the other human, you're giving that trust, being willing to offer that trust to another human, you are inviting that other person to be their best.
Yeah. So I think if you feel like there is a lack of trust on both parts, then it is important to stop and reflect upon, okay, what role do you play in that dynamic? Mm-hmm. How are you not allowing them to be their best?
And then, you know, wrap it up with embrace. Like, it's all you. As a leader, you've got to choose to be intentional in your words, in your actions, in your motives, and then your emotional regulation about all of it together. So as we end this time together, remember that trust isn't earned, it's extended. So think about this week. Who in your life needs to feel your trust before they can actually prove it? And go have the conversation with them.
As always, don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com with the number 2. And the discussion guides that we have been putting together are out there and available. So you can access those. You can use those with a group or a team, very much like a book club tailored to the content for our episodes.
And if you follow us on LinkedIn, you can find those discussion guides on LinkedIn as well, too. We'll try to make it as easy for you as we can. And a very special thanks to our Grammy-recognized hit songwriter, Cliff Goldmacher, for our theme song that we love dearly. Please go out to our website, check out his information and the services that he provides for developing teams, particularly around using song for leadership development.
And until next time, invest trust generously, because it is the true currency of lasting leadership.